Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back to the podcast. If you notice that my voice sounds different, you're right, it does. And the reason is I am recovering from COVID. I have tried to outsmart and outrun this bee for 30 months now, and she finally caught up to me. I consider myself extremely fortunate that I haven't been sicker than I am, but no lie, it has not been fun. Now, I am double vaccinated and boosted, and I have intentionally kept my social life pretty freaking minimal. But here I am, I'm dealing with it, and I hope to have my normal voice back for you by the very next episode. I actually sound worse at this moment than I feel. So you can just think it maybe sounds sexy, or it sounds sickly, or maybe you wouldn't have even noticed if I didn't say anything. But hey, today's episode is not about COVID or about me. It is about imposter syndrome, specifically the cure for imposter syndrome. Because, okay, let's just be honest. The dirty little secret of high-achieving women is out. As a matter of fact, it's not even a secret anymore. You've probably heard an awful lot about imposter syndrome, also called imposter complex, imposter phenomenon, imposterism. I prefer to call it that fraudy feeling. But here is where things get interesting. Do you know that as of 2019, the majority of students admitted to medical school, are female? And that women earned the majority of doctoral degrees in 2020 for the 12th straight year. As a matter of fact, women outnumber men in graduate school across the board, 148 to 100, and they have for a long time. Now, these numbers are impressive, but they really don't tell the whole story, and they definitely do not tell the story about imposter syndrome. Part of that has to do with the fact that higher education no longer guarantees financial security the way it did just a few decades ago, but there is a lot more to it than that. I mean, bottom line, there is no longer any guarantee that any amount of education will lead to secure and stable employment. And many women are working in fields that not only have nothing to do with their academic preparation, they're also saddled with decades of student loan to repay. This also applies to men, obviously. But if this is not your first episode of the Driven Woman podcast, then you already know I talk a lot, especially on these solo episodes, about confidence, assertiveness, boundaries, managing our fear of failure, taking risks, resilience, and self-care. What you also know is even though I have a master's degree and a clinical license and many years of experience as a professional, but I no longer believe that education is the holy grail that I once believed it to be. Sorry, kids. You see, the world of work is changing rapidly, so rapidly, mainly thanks to the internet and all of the new technologies that we now have available to us. So our financial future and the responsibility for securing it has literally been dropped in our laps. Now, this is both horrifying and tantalizing because job security has become a quaint expression of your parents' generation. And I believe all women would benefit from thinking of themselves as self-employed, no matter who is currently signing their checks. The reason why I take such a strong position on this is because many of the women I have coached and mentored in the past few years have been highly educated. I'm talking medical doctors, attorneys, PhDs in occupational therapy, physical therapy, pharmacy. I even had one client with a double PhD, and every one of them hired me to help her craft her own coaching or consulting business after she realized that path was just not working for her anymore. Now, you would think these women were all super confident about their ability to succeed in self-employment, but you would be wrong. As a matter of fact, something I came to recognize over time is that higher education, while obviously more individualized to the specific goals and interest of the student at the higher levels, is still a system where the student's course of learning is mostly determined by the institution, not the individual, no matter how much these institutions of higher learning profess the opposite. So to think that you could simply leave that system after years or decades and actually know how to function when 100% of the choices you make are now up to you, it would be laughable if it were not also tragic. I have so much empathy and respect for these clients because I am a product of the very same conditioning. I drank the very same Kool-Aid. Maybe a different flavor, but the substance is the same. Now, for the record, I have no bone to pick with higher education and zero regrets about the sacrifices I made to get both a bachelor's and a master's degree from an excellent university. I fully acknowledge that while I did fund my own education, it was at a time when it didn't bankrupt me or my future possibilities. I also acknowledge my privilege in coming from a high school where not going to college really was the exception rather than the norm. But here's what concerns me. It's not that education, mine, yours, theirs, ours, is not enough. Is that it also has ingrained habits in us that make it so much harder to figure out self-employment than those who hated school and would never have gone one day more than they were legally required to do so or have the truancy officer pounding on their door. And that we just can't assume any longer that more education means more opportunity or more money. It's just not adding up anymore. Now, I have a lot more to share on this, so don't go away. I'll be right back after this quick message. Hey there, it's Diane with a quick announcement. If you've ever heard the expression, what got you here won't get you there, I think this fits perfectly with the challenges that most female solopreneurs face after they've been in business the first 2 to 3 years. You see, the mindset and strategy that got you out of the starting blocks and into the game are not going to help you get to the next level. For that, you need a boss up breakthrough. And in my opinion, that is best delivered in the company of other badass female solopreneurs and facilitated by an expert business strategist, mindset mentor, and coach. Yours truly. I've named my brand new small group coaching program, the Boss Up Breakthrough, for that very reason, and we're getting the party started this fall. I would love for you to join us if this feels like the next right step to step up your game and to boss up in your business. Make sure you get on the waiting list. There is a link in the show notes. Please add yourself to it, even if you think you may already be on my waiting list. I'll make sure you don't get duplicate emails. I cannot wait to get this party started. I hope you are planning to be there. And honestly, I feel like I should have Lizzo's About Damn Time playing in the background because some of you have been waiting for this for quite a while. So you'll get all the details really soon. Can't wait to get started. Add your name to the list. And if you want to know what it actually feels like to coach with me, have a listen to this.
I also think that our time together really helped me find my zone of genius, which I feel like when I did the exercise with you, I was totally off base. I think through more client experience, strangers, getting my processes down and understanding how to more streamline my business processes on both sides of my businesses, I was able to understand how my superpower is my visual acumen, I would like to say, that I utilize in both Pilates and in web designs.
Okay, here's the deal. Some of the most successful entrepreneurs I've known started their own business either because they simply couldn't stand the thought of reporting to someone else any more than they could stomach more school time. And in some respects, I admit it, I envy them. Yes, they had a lot to learn and they were very scrappy, but they didn't have so much to unlearn as my clients and me. They knew they were outliers from the beginning. These were the mostly boys who couldn't sit still in class, who were boisterous, who were disruptive, who thought it was pointless, who either didn't do their homework or forgot to bring it in. They knew they were outliers. They knew they weren't going to university. They knew they weren't going to be executives. And yes, most of these serial entrepreneurs are male. But I think this is a direct result of the fact that most girls are easier to socialize to the cultural norms of sit still, be quiet, wait to be called on. And this comes back to bite us in the butt once we do finally venture out into self-employment. You see, the term imposter syndrome and all of its synonyms have been used so frequently on the internet and social media that most of us simply think it refers to the general lack of confidence that women have compared to men, regardless of how qualified they are. I have spoken in other episodes of this podcast about the confidence gap and that I have literally read entire books on the subject of why women of every caliber are less confident than men. But the term imposter syndrome was originally coined in reference to high achieving women, not to women in general. And I think this is important to talk about because language and communication matter. They matter. They change our culture. And the way we speak to ourselves and about ourselves matters a lot. We are literally wiring our beliefs in our brain and putting them on speed dial. What we say to ourselves and about ourselves gets wired in there, and it's harder to get rid of than it is to install. Trust me on this. So referring to ourselves as having imposter syndrome, when we actually lack the confidence to start a business or be paid for our services or raise our rates or set boundaries with clients, hold our team members accountable, or simply feel comfortable introducing ourselves as a business owner at a virtual mixer, may not just be a mindset issue, and it may not be imposter syndrome either. It might be a lack of experience. I mean, it's not our fault, okay? After all, just a couple of decades ago, before the coaching industry burst on the scene, the term expert meant something. I mean, it was used very sparingly, and there was a proven path to acquire it that everyone pretty much agreed upon. It either meant a course of study at an academic institution or an apprenticeship in the arts or skilled trade, plus quite a few more years of experience than by today's standards. An expert back in the day, and I'm talking back in the day like before the year 2000, an expert 20 years ago rarely called themselves by that term. It was an honor that you earned in the eyes of others. And there is the rub. We have gone from a system where you earned your credentials to one where they are freely given to oneself. And now we try to impress one another and hope to impress future customers and clients with the number of certifications we've earned or the high-profile training programs we've affiliated with. But does any of this really matter? And does any of it dispel those fraudy feelings? Well, in my experience, it's a resounding no. My podcast episodes on this topic and others related to it have consistently received the most downloads. I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not. Women have difficulty believing that they're enough, that they're smart enough, that they're capable enough, that they're educated enough, prepared enough, genetically endowed enough, and adequately trained enough to fulfill their potential and their career path. This is nothing new. But is it imposter syndrome? And what is the cure for it? Well, let me break it down. Question one to ask yourself. Do I have imposter syndrome or do I need more experience? If you're a brand new coach, consultant, or service provider, you are not an expert or a specialist. Not yet. Calling yourself one and then feeling inauthentic doesn't mean you have imposter syndrome. It means you have a conscience and some integrity. So don't overstate your experience until you've earned it. That's a quick cure for imposter syndrome, right off the top. Question number two, do I have imposter syndrome or am I overselling myself? You know, I first started hearing rank beginners refer to themselves as experts about 5 years ago. And now the word has become so common, it's honestly lost all meaning. You will go a lot further and last a lot longer if you don't inflate your frickin' status. Let your satisfied clients and customers sing your praises. Don't start the choir yourself. Now, if your bougie business coach is telling you to brag about your expertise when you know damn well you have little to nothing to back it up with, please, please trust your gut and follow your internal guidance system. You know, people are really not all that impressed with all that as you have been led to believe. And the really great clients, the ones you really want to work with, trust me, they can smell that bullshit a mile away. Just don't. Question three, do I have imposter syndrome or do I need to get more paid clients? Listen, if you have no or very little practical paid experience with real clients, and I am not talking about other students from your coaching program or people that your coaching program provided to you with no effort on your part, or people are receiving your services for free, however grateful and happy they are, do not expect to feel like a freaking pro. Now, this does not mean you have imposter syndrome, but you might need to, listen, you might need to do some free coaching or free consulting on a temporary basis, usually to earn your credentials. But please start getting paid as soon as possible after that, or you might find yourself avoiding it. The truth is, all behavior is habit forming. So decide for yourself if the habit you want to form is the habit of working for free. And for the record, I have no problem with working for free and have done it on many occasions. Still do. It's called volunteer work. It is valuable, it is honorable, and is a wonderful way to serve people. But it's not a business model. So if you are working for free, you are doing volunteer work. Another way of curing imposter syndrome is calling things what they are. Here's your next question. Do I have imposter syndrome or do I need to learn marketing and sales? Okay. Do you go into a complete tailspin when you hang up from a discovery call and it does not end in a new client? That is not imposter syndrome, my friend. You need a new skill set and perhaps a reality check as well. Do you realize that even the best coaches and consultants do not close every sale? They really don't. An extremely experienced coach or consultant who has a really good screening process and really vets their people before they have a discovery call, at best, they will sign up 50% of those people as paying clients. A new coach or consultant would be doing very well to sign up 25%. So if anybody's telling you they schedule 4 discovery calls and result in 3 clients, they're full of shit. It's not happening. Those are not the industry standard. So give yourself a little bit of a reality check. Take a little bit of a load off. You do not have imposter syndrome, but you may very well need to learn sales and marketing. This is one of the things I kind of wished I had known a little bit earlier in my self-employment journey. I mean, and I have a little bit of sales background. It was a long time ago, but I had it and I had the training that goes with it. If you are self-employed, you're in sales and marketing. I said this on an earlier episode and I'm sure I'll say it again, because self-employment means you are selling your services and marketing your services. It's absolutely necessary. Or you're paying someone a commission to sell and market your services, which means less for you. So I think you might as well accept it, make friends with it, hell, embrace it if you can. Because if you're not wildly enthusiastic about sharing your elevator pitch or swapping who I serve and how I help stories with your new online besties, it really doesn't mean you have imposter syndrome. Chances are you need to pick up a few pointers on how to sell without feeling gross. Now, I want to tell you about a resource. My good friend Annie Ruggles has built an entire business around helping heart-centered folks cozy up to selling. That means you're not the only one. You know who struggles the most with fraudy feelings about asking for the business? Yeah, you guessed it. People who actually give a shit about other people and who aren't just out to take their money and run. People like you and people like me. I am linking to Annie's mega cool website in the show notes. She's got a ton of free shit and a kick-ass podcast called Too Legitimate to Quit. You should absolutely listen to it. So here's the thing. If you are not comfortable with sales and marketing, don't quit and don't keep saying you have imposter syndrome. You probably just need to connect with my friend Annie and learn a thing or two about getting comfy with sales. You can do it. This brings me to my final point. I love the title of Annie's podcast, Too Legitimate to Quit, because you are. You are too legitimate to quit. There are so many posers and fakers and self-anointed, self-appointed, shamelessly self-promoting know-nothings that have clogged up the interwebs, shilling their services, calling themselves experts, and they're probably not even going to be around in a couple of years. You, I want to last. I don't know who to credit this with, but tell me if this isn't a mic drop moment. Assholes don't get imposter syndrome. Those people, the ones I was just talking about in a not so nice way, they don't get imposter syndrome. They're not losing one wink of sleep worrying about how other people perceive them and wondering if they're enough. They are just laughing all the way to the bank. But you don't have to be one of them to have a viable business in this day of age. In fact, I want to put your mind at ease. The very fact that you are even questioning, even wondering, whether or not you have imposter syndrome, and listening to an episode like this, looking for a cure, means there's hope. There's hope for you, and there's hope for humanity, and there's hope for the internet and online business, because we actually need more people who actually legitimately care about others and who want to offer their brilliance to the world. Not hyped up, overinflated, and frankly full of shit claims because their business coach told them so, but honest, authentic, you see what you get, at a price you feel good about, and your target market is happy to pay. It's not that hard, and you can absolutely do it. But you can't fix a problem you don't know you have, but you also can't fix a problem when you're giving it the wrong name. So don't tell yourself you have imposter syndrome if you just need more experience, or you just need to be paid, or you need to be paid a little better, or you need to stop dealing with freeples and cheaples and all the friends and family discounts out there. You need to stop bartering. You need to do the hard work to embrace the reality that you, my dear, are a business owner and you deserve to get paid for what you do. Get yourself some sales and marketing skills and look out, world. I welcome you bossing up and doing just that, because the world doesn't need more fakers and assholes. The world needs more people who worry about not being enough and have the audacity to decide they are, and other people need to know about it. Well, I plan to be fully healthy by the time you hear this voice next. That's all for now. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay driven.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.